Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eagle's Eye Report, episode number 64 for Wednesday, August 9th, 2023. The name of today's show is Targeting Our Children. And I've got to tell you something. Of all the shows I've done, this is the one that bothers me the most. And it's not necessarily that that's where the most evil is going. Actually, it probably is, but it is the fact that it is targeting our children. The entire future of humanity depends on its children. And we'll get into that a little deeper as episode number 64 of Eagle's Eye Report unfolds in front of you today. Again, the title of the show today is Targeting Our Children. I am your host, Roger Landry, TLV, and the show is co-hosted and produced by my friend and fellow patriot, Stephen Roberts, who I will bring in momentarily. The mission of this show is to be a mechanism for communicating truth and facts in a country increasingly forbidding of these very concepts. Yes, I say that every week. And why does Roger say that every week? Because people need to be reminded of it. When the state steps up to take over your life to the point where you wish to forget or ignore what they're doing because you figure there's nothing you can do about it, then somebody needs to remind you over and over again that via the Constitution this country was founded on, none of this is permissible. But again, what's the worst of it? The worst of it is the focus on our children. And again, we will get into that much deeper today. This show airs weekly live on Shake and Wake Radio. Our thanks to Annie, who has been a personal friend of mine for many years, and also on PSN Radio, EPGN Radio Online, and SoFlo Radio. Look, I'm going to bring this up again. And yeah, I can tell there's some of you out there rolling your eyes into the back of your head, but let's talk about this. How can you help these platforms I just mentioned? Well, it's rather easy. You can give them a donation. But in every once in a while donation, whereas it does help these platforms, there is a way you can make this even better. How can you do that? And I'm not talking about you necessarily donating any more money. But what they have is a happenstance. Every once in a while, you throw something in the bucket and it does them good and they are happy and they appreciate you because you should be appreciated. But what they don't have is the continuity of that money coming in each month so that they can budget things, so that they can give you better services, so that they can kick the show out even further, so that they can give you bigger, better, faster. How do you do that? Well, what you do, and I say it every week, and I'm saying it again this week, is you take an average of what you normally give a platform like this over the course of the year. You divide it by 12, and the next time you go in, you click the little button that says make this a reoccurring donation, and you put that amount in there. You haven't spent any more than you usually do, but you've given them the peace of mind of knowing that each month that money is going to appear in the account and allow them to give you that bigger, badder, better, faster. All right, Stephen, have I got that right? And I ask you that every week.
Yeah, and I can't I can't find any fault in it.
But it does help these platforms. Again, not necessarily are you giving more, but what you are doing is giving them the peace of mind of knowing they can count on that on a monthly basis, which means you get a better platform. All right. Our mission is to keep you armed with the vital truths as well as to give you a platform where you can discuss these vital truths without fear of censorship, exclusion. And that, of course, is the sponsor of this show, TLBTalk.com. And basically what I say every time I say that is, come in and say what needs to be said. Because in a lot of other places, you're not going to be able to do that. A link to any references or any articles used in this presentation will be included in tomorrow's article published on thelibertybeacon.com by noon central every Thursday, which includes active links and other pertinent data points and articles. So, everything you hear today, you can check up on tomorrow, and you're all pretty familiar at this point that if I'm going to put emphasis on something, I've done my homework. If I'm going to stand in front of you and scream and holler about things that should be and could be and they're all wrong, then I don't have an audience anymore, and I don't blame you. So let's get into this topic. Let's get down to business. One more time, Eagle's Eye Report, targeting our children. Let's go through a couple of lead-in talking points here, okay? If you wish to control a society, you must target the children and destroy the family unit. Look around you today, people, and tell me that's not happening. Please, tell me it's not happening. Because that's going to convince me beyond a shadow of a doubt you've been sleeping for how long and you haven't woken up yet. Okay? What we are looking at today is the destruction of the family unit, and it is intentionally. And we will get into the points where you're going to go, oh, yeah, now I know what you're talking about, Roger, because it's a fact. Okay? There has never been a bigger push to destroy the family unit in the 70 years I've been alive. And I can tell you, probably wasn't too much going on in that direction prior to that. So we're looking at the biggest push in the destruction of the family unit we have ever seen in the history of America. Okay? Yes, not a joke. If you wish to control a society, you must target the children and destroy the family unit. This is underway. How? How is it underway? If you wish to destroy the family unit, you must destroy the trust between parents and children. How do you destroy the family unit? You can't do it by leaving the cohesion, the strong bonds and cohesion between the family individuals, especially between the children and the parents. How the hell are you going to destroy a family unit if you can't break that cohesion? How? You can't. Okay? So, if you wish to destroy the family unit, you must destroy the trust between parents and children. How many of your kids are coming home today and saying things to you and your jaw drops? Where the hell did you learn that? You heard that in school? From who? Who's teaching you that? Oh, how come I didn't know anything about this? Yeah. And what you have goes well beyond that, okay? If you destroy the family trust between parents and children, you now have a dysfunctional unit that will only get worse. And where was it initiated? Again, by the school, giving ideas to your children. Anybody know what's going on in the state of Washington right now? Anybody? Anybody? In the state of Washington, if your kid, okay, is told at school, your 8, 9, 10-year-old kid, you know, through one of their trans days, this is fun. This is a blast. Look at the cool clothes they get to wear. Oh, the jokes are hilarious. I had never had more fun. And I was told if I wanted to do this, all I had to do is go home and tell my parents. And if my parents say no, I'm supposed to come back to school, tell the teacher or the guidance counselor, in which case my parents will be approached and told to either put up with it or lose me as their child. Basically, what you have just done is you have just put the child in charge of the parent. In other words, the child can do what the child wishes to do, and if the parent disagrees, which is that parent's right to do so until that child is old enough to make decisions for themselves. But if the parent does that now, the state will come and take your child away because you no longer have the right to set up your child's life. You no longer have the right to make sure that your child has a great life. You no longer have the right to step in front of the government and say, but I'm the parent. That doesn't work anymore, especially in states like Washington. And if you think that's going to be the only state to pass this, how many blue states are there in America? Think again, people. So let's dive into the breakdown of a great article, which I pulled out of the to present to you today. And this is an article that was written by David Bell and Hugh McCarthy, And the title of that, gee, this is going to sound familiar, What They Did to the Children. Now, it's all good for me to give you my point of view. You've already got it. You already understand that our children today are intentionally being divided from their parents. The bond, the cohesiveness is intentionally being destroyed by a state which wishes, okay, those children going forward to be their army. Not a joke, people, an absolute fact. When that child in Washington decides that I want to be a boy and not a girl, and I tell my parents and they say no, and I call this number that was given to me because every kid's got a cell phone today, and then about a half hour later, there's a car out front of my house, and I walk to the front door, and I look my mother and my father right in the eyes, and I say, don't expect me for dinner. I won't be home. And when you decide that you're going to, I don't know, honor my wishes, I may decide to come home. Basically, what just happened in the state of Washington is your children are now in charge of you. If you don't wish to allow them to do what they wish to do, whether they're only 8 or 9 years old, no way in hell they can possibly figure this out correctly. They haven't got the experience. They haven't got the learning. They haven't been on the planet long enough. But at 8 or 9 years old, they're convinced that they need to make a surgical transition, something that far too many, 3 or 4 years after that, down the road, commit suicide because they never should have done it. But if you tell your child no, if you tell your child to wait, at that point, your child is no longer yours. And they've been told that in school. So our children are being taught things in school that we do not want them to be taught, but we don't seem to have any choice. Our children are also being taught that if they are a girl and they want to be a boy, they can. And if you don't like it, there are mechanisms your children can use to conquer you. Yes, I chose that word, and that's the exact word I wanted to use, to conquer you. Because what the school and the school mechanism has just told your child is that you are in charge of this. And if your parents don't like it, here's what you can do to them. This isn't a joke, people. This is what's happening to our children. And this is intentional. If you can destroy the family unit, okay, taking over that society, I'm talking about governance, taking over that society becomes a hell of a lot easier. And this is what you're seeing. So again, the article we're about to take pieces from, and that won't be everything, but it will be pieces, is called What They Did to the Children. Okay. Children, as any parent knows, are not small adults. They're not. Their brain is growing and being acutely shaped by their environment and their experiences. That's how children learn. Social skills and values are learned from those around them with teamwork, risk management, personal boundaries, and tolerance being learned through play with, I don't know, other children. Their immune system is imprinting environmental contact into a set of responses that will shape health in later life. Their bodies grow physically and become adept at physical skills. They learn both trust and mistrust through interaction with adults. This rapid and physical psychological growth makes children highly vulnerable to harm, though, which is something most people don't bring up. Withdrawal of close contact with trusted adults and enforced distancing has large emotional and physical impacts in common with other primates. Lack of experience also leaves them vulnerable to manipulation by adults who are pushing certain attitudes or beliefs. Often, we call that grooming. Wouldn't you say? Grooming. For these reasons, our forebearers put specific protections and norms of behavior in place that elevated the needs of children above adults. If children were never put in a position of being first, where do you think society would be today? And again, any of you who think that this is, I don't know, the only show we're going to do about children, this is way too important a topic. And this is way too important, a major disaster globally, a growing one. So talking about it becomes vital because it is a massive tool in the hands of those who wish to bring America to her knees. Okay. So we've talked about them being susceptible to harm. We've talked about the possible grooming. We've talked about our forebearers putting specific protections and norms of behavior in place that elevated the needs of children above adults. What the hell happened to that? And why? Why are our children no longer special? And they are still special. So don't just listen for a second. Why are our children no longer special in the fashion that if they are not first, this harms society? Why are they now first still, but now in the eyes of the elites to be used as tools to divide them from you? And that's not a joke. However, protecting children did not involve enclosing them in a padded cell way back when. Policymakers knew this to be harmful, okay, to psychological and physical development of children, but they did it anyway. Lockdowns. It involved allowing children to explore their environment and society whilst taking measures to shield them from malfeasance, including from those who would harm them directly or through ignorance and neglect. It wasn't out of isolation. It wasn't out of wear a mask and don't go within 6 feet of anybody. It wasn't any of this because we knew for a fact none of this worked, but you were forced to do it anyway. The act of imposing risks on children for the perceived benefit of adults was therefore considered one of the worst crimes, the most cowardly use of human shields. And this is the concept. This is the way we looked at the treatment of children for over a century and for much, much longer. I'm just talking about things like, I don't know, where they stand in the United Nations, where they stand in other, CDC, where they stand, all of these things. Where do you put the children's priority? And if it's not number one, I don't want to talk to you anymore. Okay. Article 3, here we go, of the UN Convention on the Rights of the Child places children at the center of public decision making. As in all actions concerning children, the best interest of the child shall be a primary consideration. This is from the UN Convention, okay? Article 3. When we are complicit in acts that we know are wrong, we naturally look for ways to avoid acknowledging our part in it or excuse the actions as being for the greater good. But lying to ourselves is not a good way to correct any wrong. As we have seen in other acts of, institutional child abuse, it allows the abuser to fester and to expand the abuse. It advances the interest and safety of the perpetrators over that of the victims. And we have heard of institutional child abuse for a long time, whether it's in orphanages, whether it's in foster homes, whether it is, these are things that we know are common. But let's take it one step further. COVID as a mean for targeting children. Okay, I just said COVID is a means for targeting children. But why am I going to target children? I'm going to target children in order to exacerbate the situation we opened the whole show up with. I'm going to target children to cause a split, an abyss between them and their understanding of their parents and between their parents and their understanding of them. And this is what we're looking at. Okay? COVID as a means for targeting children. In early 2020, a virus outbreak was noted in Wuhan, China. It was soon clear that this relatively novel coronavirus overwhelmingly targeted the sick and the elderly. Those who are over 80 years old and have several comorbidities. Jeez, how many times have you heard that? Obviously, some people never. Particularly those on unhealthy Western diets. Yes, the food we eat is not necessarily conducive to our health, especially when there's a virus running around. The Diamond Princess incident showed, however, that even among the elderly, the vast majority would survive the illness, COVID-19, with many not even becoming ill. In response, Western public health institutions, politicians, and media turned on children. Society implemented policies never seen before. A whole of society approach that was expected to increase poverty and, inequity. Inequality, and particularly target lower income people and disrupt childhood development. Let me go over that again. I want you all to understand this before we proceed. In response, Western public health institutions, okay, and we know what those are, CDC, NIH, NIAD, FDA, we're talking about the Faucis of the world, so on and so forth, okay? It turns out to be a whole-of-society approach. It included restrictions on children's play, on children's education, on children's communication, and used psychological manipulation to convince them that they were a threat to their parents, their teachers, and their grandparents. Why? Because, hey, they don't seem to get it, but that doesn't mean that it isn't hiding in their body. And anytime they go around their parents, or anytime they go around their grandparents, or anybody else, there's a possibility they could kill them. This is what our children were being taught. This is what they felt. Yeah. And it's not a joke. And for the first time, our children felt that they were a catastrophe to adults. Again, this included restrictions on their play, their education, their communication. And it was used to convince them that they were a threat to their parents, their teachers, and their grandparents. Policies such as isolation and travel restrictions normally applied to criminals, but they were applied to an entire population. Even knowing from some of the best, okay, medical minds on the planet that none of this would be effective. But they did it anyway because it had nothing to do with COVID and everything to do with breaking down the bonds of American society, including the most important bond, which is, dare I say it again, the family unit. Yeah. The novel public health response was designed by a small but influential group of very wealthy people, often called philanthropists, and international institutions which they have funded and co-opted over the past decade. These same people would go on to be greatly enriched through the ensuing response. COVID, they got fabulously rich. Encouraged by these same, but now even wealthier people, governments are now working to entrench these responses to build a poorer, less free, and more unequal world into which all children will grow. Not joking. Absolute fact. What they are doing is establishing the new norm. What they are doing is bringing in the Great Reset. What they are doing is resetting the fact that in your house, you as the parent used to be in charge and you were not fearing your children having you thrown in jail or them walking out of the house and never coming back and you having nothing to do with it. Yeah. This is going to happen in a world, okay, that is basically intended to be poorer, less free, more unequal, and all children will grow up being exposed to this. A child growing up being exposed to anything makes that a permanent part of the society going forward, especially if all children are exposed to the same stimulus. Look at what's happening around you today, people. Your children are being turned against you. Your children are being told that they can have their way or else. Your children are being told you are no longer their master or their boss. Yeah. Not a joke. Everything I've just told you is 100% true. Everything I've just told you, I never would have thought could possibly happen in America even 10 years ago. Did I think that there was treason going on in America? Yes. Did I think that there was, I don't know, tyranny going on in America? Yes. Did I think that we were being screwed horribly by our political class? Yes. Did I think this was going to happen? Hell no. I never thought there was anybody evil enough to do this openly enough for enough of us to see it and call it out. But obviously, I was wrong. And it's not the first time, and it won't be the last time. But what I am telling you is, what is happening to our children, globally, not just in America, is proof positive. Exactly what a global elitist is trying to do to humanity. It is trying to bring us to our knees. You destroy the family unit, you're well on your way. All right, we're going to break here. I think it's about time for a break. And when we come back, we're going to come into a subtopic here, the abandonment of evidence. And I think everybody needs to hear that. Stephen, we about ready for a break, sir?
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. I need to breathe.
All right.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tldtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
All right, everybody. So, listen, if you've got things you know need to be said, and we all do, okay, and you know you can't say them in other places, and we all know that, okay? TLB Talk was set up to allow you to discuss with your friends the things that need to be discussed. Can you discuss things that are illegal? No, you can't, okay? Can you do things that are illegal? No, you can't, all right? But as long as you can show respect in TLB Talk, anything can be said with respect. If you want to talk about vaccines, nobody's going to kick you off. Okay. If you want to talk about the things that Facebook is going to shut you down for, it's not going to happen here. The only thing we request from you is that you keep things within the letter of the law to keep from putting the project in danger. But again, anything, I don't care what it is, can be said with respect. So come in, form a group, make a page, I don't care, and let people know the things you know that they probably should. TLB Talk. Come and say what needs to be said. All right, just before we went to the break, the abandonment of evidence. What the hell does Roger mean by the abandonment evidence? Okay. Aerosolized respiratory viruses such as coronaviruses spread in teeny airborne particles. Very, very small airborne particles over long distances because they're so small they can get carried by the wind or whatever for long distances and are not, okay, interrupted, listen to me, and are not interrupted by cloth, face coverings, or surgical masks. How many times have you heard Roger say this, okay? You're wearing a mask. All of a sudden you come up to somebody and he got, well, let's say he's got COVID-19, which is basically the flu, okay? And he coughs. And he coughs straight at you. And you look at him and you smile because you got one of them masks on, right? So you're safe. Let me explain to you, all right? Some of you out there don't even believe in viruses, but some of you that do believe in viruses, let's just say for argument that there is a virus, a coronavirus. The actual size of that coronavirus as it comes out of his mouth and head toward you, and you're feeling so smug because you've got that, I don't know, surgical mask on, a professional surgical mask on. That virus heads straight towards you. It gets to your mask and passes right through it like it's not even there. Let me give you an idea of what I'm talking about. That virus passing through the pores in the mask would be the equivalent of dropping a BB through a freaking hula hoop. Did you hear what I just said? Those masks are not doing anything but causing your children harm. Because every time they breathe in, they take in what the body needs. Every time they exhale, they get rid of what the body doesn't need. They get rid of the toxins from the body. If you have your child wearing a mask for 12 to 15 hours a day, then every bit of toxin, once you've got enough moisture to block most of the pores in that mask, which will be very quickly, every bit of the toxins the body is trying to get rid of over and over and over again is being rebreathed back into the body and causing harm to the body. It is detrimental to your child's health to wear that mask. But yet, you were told you could better wear it or else. I want you to tell me what part of that mask is dangerous, not only for your children, but especially for your children, but for anybody. And then I want you to tell me why your children were forced to wear those masks, whether they were effective or not, knowing full well the damage they will cause to your children over time. When I say they came after your children, when I say, okay, the abandonment of evidence, how many people out there like me who have done their research know for a fact that masks, especially cloth masks, the surgical masks, they're a little better, but they're far from perfect, as I just explained. But cloth masks, that's ridiculous, okay? That's like putting a BB through a volcano mouth. It's insane. But this is the world you live in today, isn't it? All right, so let's say this again. Aerosolized respiratory viruses, such as a coronavirus, spread in teeny airborne particles over long distances. Okay? This can be long established as, look, surgical masks do not work in this case. Okay? This has been long established. It has been item confirmed again by the U.S. CDC in a meta-analysis of influenza studies published in May of 2020. The CDC said they don't work. But weren't they the ones behind it, along with the FDA and the Fauci troops, forcing you or putting you in a situation where you had better have a mask on or else? But they knew this. They knew this, and they had published information on it before. Recently, how much damage has been done to our children that never had to be done? That's the point here, people. The SARS-CoV-2, okay, V2 virus, was somewhat unusual, though not unique, in its targeting of a cell receptor in the lining of the respiratory tract, ACE2 receptors, to enter the infected cell or to enter or infect the cell. These are expressed less in children, meaning children are intrinsically less likely to be severely infected or transmit large viral loads to others. This explains the study's outcomes early in the COVID-19 epidemic that demonstrated very low transmission from children to school teachers, and adults living with children having a lower than average risk. It explains why, listen to me, people, it explains why Sweden, following former evidence-based recommendations from the World Health Organization, who used to say these things too until COVID came up. So Sweden, following former evidence-based recommendation from the WHO, kept its schools open, and they had no ill effects on their teachers or their children's health. But we didn't do that. How many of our children have been harmed for life? How many, look, if you lose 2 or 3 years of school, how easy do you believe it would be for a child to make that up? And how many of them will eventually not even want to? Yeah. We're looking at a situation today where our children are being put intentionally in a situation where they will fail or they will not succeed anywhere near the level of those who came before them. Okay. Armed with this knowledge, we as a society closed schools and forced children to cover their faces, reducing their educational potential and impairing their development. Okay. I'm going to say that again, because anybody who doesn't understand what this show is about, this one, this hour, this is it. Armed with the knowledge of all the crap I just gave you, we as a society closed schools and forced children to cover their faces, reducing their educational potential and impairing them from development, and also causing how many massive health issues down the road for the amount of toxins they rebreathed over the time they were forced to wear that mask. Please don't say, Roger, you're a nut. I have been writing articles, health articles and vaccine articles for 15 years. I've written over 1,000 of them. I've done massive research. These children will have health issues far beyond any other generation. And we're talking about the ones who were old enough to suffer. Basically the Z-gens. To suffer over the last couple of years. We are looking at massive harm to a generation that was done intentionally. We closed schools and we forced children to cover their faces. None of this was necessary, and all of it did irreparable harm to our children. Knowing that school closures would disproportionately harm low-income children with poorer computer access and home study environments, Aha. We ensured that the children of the wealthy would widen their advantage for the next generation. They got everything they needed. They continued to go to private schools. They had everything and anything they needed that those children who went to, I don't know, the public schools didn't have. In low-income countries, these school closures worked as expected, increasing child labor and condemning up to 10 million additional girls to child marriage and nightly rape. Listen to what I just said. In low-income countries, these school closures worked as expected, increasing child labor, very cheap labor, and condemning up to 10 million additional girls to child marriage and nightly rape. How much of this do you think I'm joking about? How much? We are looking at our children being used as tools to beat you and I smartly about the head and shoulders. We are being, what we are experiencing is our children as a weapon against their parents. I can see it in my grandchildren. I can see my children who are in their 40s and they are just wondering, what the hell is going on? Where did this come from? And I don't have sons. I have two daughters. So I have two mothers' perspectives. And believe me, they're not good. My grandchildren are, I don't know, in their late teens. My great-grandchildren, excuse me. For many schools, all right, let's go all the way back to something else I want to make sure I get in before the show is over. I want to go back to abusing children at home because not enough people discuss this. If you are a parent and your children are gone almost all day, okay? If you are a parent and you work and your children are in school all day and all of a sudden your children are not in school and you can no longer work, okay? All of these things lead to a mindset that is different. So let's go over abusing children at home. And why are we going to do that? Because the government forced you to keep all of your children at home for no good reason whatsoever, shut their schools down and force them to wear masks and tell them they can't play with their buddy next door. Okay. For many, schools provide the only stable and secure part of their life, providing the vital pastoral and counseling work, which identifies and supports children in crisis. If a child is in crisis from home, counselors are smart enough to see the signs and teachers to see the signs and maybe to do something to support this child. When pupils are out of school, the most vulnerable are the most affected. Teachers can't pick up the early warning signs of abuse or neglect, and children have no one they can tell. For children with special needs, essential access to multi-agency support frequencies ceased. We saw many people dying because they couldn't do follow-up medical visits. We saw a lot of children committing suicide because they couldn't stand the isolation. We saw a vast degradation in the middle class of America. And now we look back on this and we know for a fact they knew none of this would work and it was all done intentionally. If you're going to rule 8 billion people, the first thing you need to do is get rid of a lot of those 8 billion people. And the second thing you need to do is make sure they understand who's in charge and why. Okay, let's go a little further. What else did our children miss out on? How about sport and extracurricular activities are very important to children's lives? Events such as school plays, school trips, choirs, and the first and last days at school mark out their lives and are vital for their social development. if the only thing kids see all day long is mom and dad, and mom and dad are really ticked that you're the only thing they get to see all day long, let me ask you a question. Are you going to be the normal kid on the block playing with the rest of the kids if that is what you grew up under? If that's your exposure? If you ever do get to go out and play with those kids? Friendships are crucial for these kids' emotional development. Are you going to get to make them? Particularly during the, I don't know, crucial stages of growth, childhood, adolescence, and young adulthood. And especially when there are vulnerabilities or special needs children. Children need access to family, friends, services, and support. And all of that went away with the flip of a switch. Yes, all of it. A lot of these services were shut down. A lot of these children went without. Why do you think the childhood suicide rate in this country screamed up? The result of this neglect, as highlighted by a recent UCL study on the outcomes of UK government restrictions on children in 2020 to 2022, was nothing short of a disaster. So they looked at 2 years of this in the UK and they said this was bad. The impact of the pandemic will have detrimental consequences for children and young people in the short and long term, with many of these not even yet visible. It will, I don't know, have continuing consequences for their future in terms of professional life trajectories, health lifestyles, mental well-being, educational opportunities, self-confidence, and more. So basically what you've done is taken a wrecking ball to children's lives. But once you have caused this much mayhem in that generation is now very, very, I don't know, susceptible to the word of the nanny state. And we'll get into that a little bit more. And I will do several shows on the nanny state over the next couple of weeks. That's where we're headed. I just told you about a study, okay? As the study finds, children were forgotten by policymakers during COVID lockdowns. This isn't Roger talking. This is the study saying children were forgotten by policymakers during COVID lockdowns. That's bullcrap. They weren't forgotten. They were used. Infant children and teenagers endured numerous lockdowns during their most formative years, despite accounting for a diminutive proportion of COVID hospitalizations and deaths. The UCL study found that politicians did not consider children and young people a priority group when English lockdowns were enforced. Infants born into the COVID restrictions have marked delays in brain and thought development. So what we're looking at is we are already seeing through studies that there has been in 3 years, I would say you would have to say 2 years, because the first year you would need a little time for anything to develop that you could see. So in 2 years, we have seen this massive change. And we already know some of the ramifications. All right. In the UK, 840 million school days were lost to the class of 2021. And nearly 2 million of England's 9 million pupils are still failing to attend school regularly. Why? Because they can. As early as November 2020, Ofsted, the body which inspects and reports on schools in England, reported that the majority of children were going backwards educationally. Regression was found in communication skills, listen to me, physical development, and independence. These impacts are seen across Europe and are likely going to be lifelong. Despite this, the policies that caused this are continued and are being, I don't know, cooked into the books for future use. We are looking at what we know is going to have one of the worst impacts sociologically moving forward for humanity. And we're not only not getting rid of what caused it, we're institutionalizing what caused it. We're going to make sure the next thing this happens, the playbook is followed. Do you think I'm kidding? I'm not. Yeah. Let us continue. Okay. In the United States, school closures affected an estimated 24.2 million. 24.2 million U.S. school children absent from school, 1.6 billion children worldwide absent from school. And the educative deterioration there is particularly clear. It's not hard to see. School children have fallen behind in their learning at almost a year. Almost a year. Behind where they should be, according to the latest assessments from the National Assessment of Educational Progress, NAEP. About a third of the students didn't reach the lowest reading benchmark, and maths saw the steepest decline, listen to me, in history. What did Roger just say? We have seen the steepest decline in reading and math skills in history. And this is something they're already telling you will more than likely not be made up. So now you have the middle class and the poorer children, and the middle class now is part of the poorer class. This is part of what COVID was intended to do. So now you have the middle class and what we consider to be the lower class. I don't. We're talking about the poorest class in this country. You have them being set back critically to the point where that entire generation may be handicapped. But yet, all of the well-to-do children in that generation will have everything they need to step in and rule. So what we will have is an even bigger divide between the elites and we the people, intentionally put there so that we no longer qualify for the things they absolutely do qualify for. And why don't we qualify for them anymore, or our children? Because the elitist class made absolutely sure that our children could not have the education nor the interaction with their peers required for them to succeed in these areas. This is all choreographed. I started talking about this in 2010 and warning about this. Anybody who doesn't believe it, go to the Liberty Beacon, type my name in, and put in anything along this. And you will find articles I have written screaming bloody murder that this was an inevitability. Well, I guess you can't get much more inevitable than this, can you? I don't know, Steve, can you get more inevitable than it's happening right now? Steve? Okay. Again, I probably caught him getting a drink, which is a good thing. Not a problem. So we go to the next point. And when schools did reopen in the UK, a damaging and restricting set of regulations were introduced. Yeah. Wearing masks, testing, bubbles, playground restrictions, and static timetables. Are you freaking kidding me? And I won't even go over why that is so damn ridiculous. Okay? The recent report I have been telling you about from the spring of 2022 highlighted the damaging effects of the restrictions on the development of young children and should have been enough to set the alarm bells ringing. But it wasn't. It wasn't enough to set any alarm bells ringing. I don't know. But let me ask you a question. stop and look at, if you've got children, stop and take a look at them. Remember back 3 years and see if there's any major differences at all. Think about that for a second. No, I'm not kidding. We're looking today at our children being used as tools to divide society at enough of a radical point that society becomes more malleable and easier to control. Destroy the family unit, and you take society to its knees. Right now, we have children who are telling us to go to hell and walking out of our house never to come back. 8, 10-year-old kids who decide they want to do something because somebody at school told them it would be cool to do. And if mommy and daddy say no, we got you covered. Why would you ever do that in a society like America unless you intend to co-opt that society? Have I got that right, Steve?
Yes, sir. I mean, I realized a long time ago on one good thing why I didn't have any children, because I wasn't going to have any kid tell me what to do.
And today, that's where it goes. Oh, and when you re-listened to the show about 4 or 5 minutes ago, I asked you a question, but I guess I caught you. And look, everybody's got to understand, Steven's got to get a drink or
went to the bathroom
once in a while.
Nature called.
Yes, and we only have a 1 minute break out of the entire hour. So when I say something to Steve and he doesn't answer, I just chuckle because I know what's happening. But Steve, excuse me, any points from you on this? Because look, and I like the point you just made, but you have to understand that every society is built on the family unit. The family unit is what is the base of society. If you intentionally destroy the family unit or drive a wedge between the children and the parents, then basically what you have done is stated to those parents, those children now belong to us, and we are now a dictatorial power.
Well, one thing I do want to add, I think it was Dinesh D'Souza that made that documentary, 2000 Mules.
I've seen it.
It was his premise in there that during the lockdowns, when all of the children were at school, they had, you know, however many millions of children there was, fill out voter registrations and voted for Biden. You know, whether it was 20 million kids at home that made the vast majority of the 81 million votes.
There is so much. And the thing of it is, that's starting to see the light of day again. They're starting to talk about it in Congress again, about the election cheating and rigging. And there's actually a few states out there that are starting to say, hey, wait a minute, we're not done talking about this.
Yeah.
This ain't right. So, yeah. All right, my friend, this has been a show that is, to me, it's one of the worst shows I could do and one of the shows I absolutely needed to do. Today, we're living in a world where our children are no longer number one. Today, we're living in a world where our children are not number one in our eyes. They're number one in the government's eyes, who uses them as a tool to put you in a position where they can control you. Not a joke. Everything I said today should prove that unequivocally. The bad part about this is when you can tell me that there is any excuse whatsoever for using my children for nefarious reasons, especially against me, and you're the government I elected, and you're the government my taxes support. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Steve. Is there anything more heinous you have ever heard in your life?
Well, all the ten horn dictators did it, so it's not surprising. No.
Oh, so it's all right then, right?
Yeah, that's true. Right. Well, you know, it is legal if the president doesn't. I mean,
yeah. You want to know what? You want to know something? That crap. It's not, but yet. They will tell you that, and most people will believe it. Do a little bit of homework, and you will find out there's an end run around that. Uh-huh. There is. The president doesn't have absolute dictatorial power, not in this country. Although it may be in, you know, a year or two. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Unless enough of us step up to say we've had it. Like right. You and I do, Steve.
Correct.
And thank you very much, everybody, for listening. I think we're about to close down. And Roger, it's my turn to go and get something to drink.
All right, folks. See everyone next week.